Hey there, I'm Matt Boggs, and welcome to this special bonus interview on the Secrets to Finding Love Online with Evan Mark Katz. Now, Evan's a new friend of mine and a colleague as a dating and relationship coach. He's an absolutely brilliant guy, and his advice is absolutely top-notch. And he just happens to be the best in the world when it comes to coaching on how to find the one online. His blog has over 5 million readers. He's appeared on CNN, NBC. He's appeared in the USA Today, the New York Times. This man is prolific. And in this interview, we talk about how to choose a dating site, the importance of your photos, the do's and don'ts around your photos, which one should you post, which one should you avoid, and he goes into depth on how to create a compelling profile that stands out from the crowd, avoids cliches, and positions you as the desirable person that you are. And we also talk about how to screen guys online so you can maximize your time and more. So it's a phenomenal interview. I hope you enjoy it.
Here we are, Evan Mark Katz. Welcome, man. It's great to have you on this special bonus call. I appreciate it. I know you're a super busy guy. You've got a lot in the works. You're working on a new book right now. So, hey, man, I really appreciate you taking time out and having this special bonus call with me and for the women in my community on some secrets to finding success online. So thanks, man, for being here.
Oh man, it's really great to be here. I know we know a lot of people in common, and you could ask anybody to do this, and you chose me. So I'm flattered to be here, and I hope to give everybody here some genuine value that you could turn into something tangible in your real life.
Well, and not everybody knows your story. So if real quick, if you give a little bit of background of, and I know you've been coaching women for 11 years, you're a phenomenal love expert, and you know, how you got your start was really in being an expert in online love. So give us a little background. What's the backstory on that?
The short version is I gave up on a Hollywood career when I realized that I was not going to have a Hollywood career. And I had to figure out something to do. And I was temping in an office building in Beverly Hills. And in the same building was a company called JDate. And I went in there and I said, hey, if you guys have anything, let me know. I'm using this site. I like it. So I just walked in and I became a customer service representative, you know. $30,000 a year getting yelled at by strangers on the phone like all customer service representatives.
That's pretty high pay for customer service, man. You must have negotiated a good rate.
Not so much. But I mean, what happened really quickly is that I realized I knew more about online dating than anybody I was talking to on the phone because I'd already been a consumer of the product. I was an early adopter of online dating. I was a screenwriter and didn't like the L.A. bar scene. And so I was using it, and people would call to complain about their lost password. And I'd say, okay, here's your last password. Have you looked at your profile? Did you ever consider that we could do this better? Did you know that you've only logged in twice in the past month? Did you know that instead of writing 50 emails to people in one day, you might want to put a little more thought into them? And so it's all kind of common sense stuff. And I did that customer service job for about a year, wrote a book called I Can't Believe I'm Buying This Book, A Common Sense Guide to Successful Internet Dating. And that was 2003, 2004.
What a great title, too, because that's how we all feel when we're like, oh, my gosh, okay, I'm actually going to invest in advice on dating. And I think the first time we invest in that as a person, those listening, the first time you invested, we have that feeling like, okay, I cannot believe I'm actually going to spend money on this, but I'm at a place where I really could use the help. So I'm going
absolutely,
to invest.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's, again, it's an online dating cliche. People even put it in their profiles. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Well, get used to it. 50 million other people are doing it too. It's really not that bad. So I was in film school at the time. I didn't even mention that, but I dropped out of film school to promote my book and to promote my new business, which is called eCyrano. It was new in 2003. eCyrano, eCyrano.com, and it was a business that writes people's online dating profiles. And the business got a lot of attention. No one had done this before, and so I got a lot of media attention, and suddenly I was able to support myself just writing people's online dating profiles. And people would say, oh, my God, this profile's so great. I'm getting all this attention. What do I do now? And I'd say, well, what do you mean, what do I do now? I mean, I have all dozens of people writing to me. What do I do? I said, well, you get on to Match and you flirt. How do I flirt? Okay, well, let's log in together. Let's take a look around. And so my business has been completely dependent upon women telling me what they needed, not like, here's what I want to give you. It's been built entirely around the needs of my clients. So online dating profile writing led to online dating coaching, and online dating coaching led to dating coaching. Dating coaching led to relationship coaching. And, you know, now for the past 5 years, I've been working exclusively with women. But it all began with, you know, being a customer service representative and writing people's online dating profiles a dozen years ago.
Love it. I love it. Just being a man of service. A man of service. That's what you are.
I don't know if I'd ever put it that way, but the nice part is to do anything. Just anybody who's listening, if you've had a job, the longer you do the job, hopefully the better you get at it, to the point that it becomes reflexive. It's just the thing that you do, and it's like, you know, it's like eating or breathing. So when you asked me to talk about online dating, I could do this in my sleep, and it's my joy to be able to give something back. So,
well, then let's talk. You know, sell us on online dating just for a minute, because a lot of the people listening to this are going to be like, I would never do online dating, or they're super resistant
sure.
to online dating, feeling like. And I know that, you know, I've done online dating, and my story is I actually – so funny. Sometimes you get online, and because you're online and you've got this social momentum going, you'll end up meeting someone offline. And that's actually how I met my wife. I was online dating other people, and that sort of put me in a new vibe. And then I end up meeting my wife in a
mm-hmm.
completely different scenario in
sure.
my daily life. So,
yep.
You know, for the people who are cynical thinking, oh, I'm lowering my standards if I go online, or – I don't want to meet the one online because that isn't my picture of, you know,
yeah.
I want a cool meeting story, you know, all of that. I don't want to ever say I met my wife or husband online.
I could give you a whole hour on it, and obviously that would suck up most of our time here, because all the arguments are so easy to shoot down, and so, you know, in no particular order. And we'll make it sort of coldly logical. A, as I said, we got 50 million people who are dating online. It's half of single America has tried this. So the quality of the people dating online is no better or worse than anybody anywhere else. It's a big cross-section of everywhere. It's the people in the mall. It's the people on the subway. It's just people. So the people aren't worse. It's just people. Because literally everybody you know, everybody I know has done it. Right? My mom's done it. My sister's done it. My wife has done it. Like, everybody's done it. So we can't say the people are X, Y, and Z because you can't make a generalization about people. Next, most of us, when we reach a certain age, past mid-20s, aren't really crazy about going to bars to meet people. It's not the, you know, the easiest or the best way to do it.
Right.
It's not the most cost-effective way. It's fun. It's social. And dating online doesn't mean you stop going out in real life. It's
I love
in addition
how the,
to
the man says it's not cost effective.
Well, you could go spend $50 on drinks in a night, or you could spend $25 a month to be on a dating site like Match.
Exactly.
Or you could spend $0 to be on Plenty of Fish or OkCupid.
There you go.
So it's cost effective to date online. Next, you have access to far more people than you would have in real life. You could go take a Spanish class because that's what you like doing. You could go hiking because that's who you like doing. How often do you meet people? So I have people who want to fall in love, and I'll say, how many dates did you go on last month? They'll say, none. I said, how many dates did you go on in the past year? Three. So you have three chances a year to fall in love? Three? And you're banking on that as a strategy? That would
right.
be like, I'm gonna get a job by not going on job interviews. All right. It doesn't make any sense. You're sort
exactly.
of waiting for lightning to strike. And again, if you're fortunate enough to meet someone at the supermarket, God bless you. You win. But at the end of the day, it's about opportunity. And if you date online, you date online the way I recommend, which is to put in literally a half hour a day, the same way you'd put in a half hour a day to doing your cardio at the gym or something, really easy, not a ton of work. If you put in a half hour a day to online dating and you go on one date a week, I predict you're going to find someone you really like really fast. And it's just being proactive instead of being passive. So, you know, get over, oh, my God, what if someone sees me? Who cares? If someone sees you, they're doing it too. They can't judge you. So anything that someone says that, you know, that why they wouldn't want to do it is so easy to shoot down. I think the hardest thing for me to shoot down, and it's not that hard, but the hardest thing for me to overcome logically is that people have tried it and didn't like it. That's the
mm-hmm.
hardest thing. It's, you know, why would I go back to a restaurant where I didn't like the food?
Right. Right.
At the same time, if you had a bad meal at a restaurant, would you go on a hunger strike?
That's a perfect response. It's a perfect response because, and often it's not even, it's even more than just the restaurant, because the restaurant is like they're cooking the food and preparing the meal, which is your experience at that restaurant. Where online dating, you actually are generating the experience.
And
so you're the one, in essence, cooking the food, creating the ambiance, creating the atmosphere. And just because you don't necessarily know how to do it or haven't been taught great strategies yet doesn't mean that's going to be perpetually your experience moving
forward.
And
that's the real hard part, because now it requires us to take responsibility. And it's so much easier to say, Los Angeles sucks, men suck, Match.com sucks. I'm doing a TED Talk about this next week. It's so much easier, but it is. It's the equivalent of blaming the gym when you don't lose weight. The gym works fine. The
Great
gym
analogy.
Works fine. But if you don't go to the gym every day, if you don't work out hard and you stand there and read a novel on the treadmill, gym's not going to do very much for you. Any observation that someone has about online dating is somewhat true. It's just not the whole truth. And so what I try to do, and I created this program called Finding the One Online. It's like a 7-hour audio and 180-page transcript, and it literally walks people through the whole process. Essentially, all I try to do is say, here, you're in control of your own destiny. How do you choose a dating site? How do you post a photo? How do you create a username and a headline? How do you write an online dating profile? How do you understand the opposite sex? What guys are going through, because it's important to have understanding and sympathy. How do you move people from email to the phone to the real-life date? How do you flirt? How do you not take things personally? How do you initiate contact with someone from your favorites list? So it's just very tangible, practical advice that if you move the needle 20%, right, if you do anything 20% better, you're going to have a huge leap in how you experience it. So anybody who says, I hate online dating, well, you hate online dating the way you did it before. You've never tried it my way.
Exactly. And that's a great principle, is that success leaves clues,
mm-hmm.
right? And that successful people have a pattern for how they engage in social interaction. They have a pattern for how they do online dating. They have a pattern for how they do life. And so we can't make it work your way. If you want success online, you got to look at how successful people are having success online. How are they doing it? And what I love about your perspective is not only are you a guy, so you're able to give the guy's perspective, and not only are you a dating coach, but you have literally written and read thousands of dating profiles and worked in the trenches, which is why I'm so excited about this particular interview. So, one of the things you talked about was how do you pick which site to become a member of first? This is one of women's first questions are like, okay, what site do I go to first? How do I choose one
sure.
to enroll in?
And I'm going to go back to the gym metaphor, right? Matt, what gym do you lose the most weight at? Is it Crunch, Equinox, 24-Hour Fitness? Which gym is going to guarantee you the greatest weight loss?
That's a great question.
It's a ridiculous question. That's the point. I'm gym agnostic and I am dating site agnostic. They all work just fine. They're boxes filled with people.
But so, aren't there ones that tailor to younger or older crowds? For example, like our time is 50s and 50 people and up. People 50 years older and up.
Yes. Yeah, and you can the internet is a vast resource if you want to do your own shopping for it. If you type in senior online dating, it's going to give you seniors online dating. And if you're looking for a casual hookup, not hard to find. But essentially, you're looking for a site that has volume, because you could look for a specific niche site, right? Republicans who do triathlons.com, But there might only be 3 people in Greensboro, North Carolina doing that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yep.
Yes, it's very specific, and you'll find someone who has the same passion as you. But at the end of the day, you need more opportunity. You can't build your site around a couple people. So
and what I love
– you want to go
what I love right
family.
Now, man, speaking of that point which you're on, which is niche sites, there's a brand new site that just launched called farmersonly.com. Have you seen
the commercials? It's not brand new.
It's not brand new. I have never heard of this. I've seen it on TV now. They must have gotten an infusion
exactly.
in advertising dollars.
So their advertising is brand new, but they've been around for, don't know, I heard about them 8 years ago, something like that.
8 years ago. City folk just don't get it. Farmers only dog. I just, it's great.
Yeah.
It's like this
guy. And I had, in all my time doing this, I had one client who was a farmer. There's a, you know, big, burly, blonde-haired kid from Arkansas or something. Really, really sweet. And he really did struggle with online dating because there weren't, he couldn't find people who really got him. He was a guy who rode a tractor, right? So I actually think that you know, niche sites have their purpose, but they're limited in terms of their volume. But for most of us in the big bell curve of life who don't need to be in a specific niche or bust, you want to go on the big brand names. It's Match, it's OkCupid, it's Plenty of Fish. If you have the stomach for something as instant gratification and lame as Tinder, which is an app on your phone, which you could, you know, it's pretty much just, hey, let's look at pretty pictures of people who are within a few miles of me and, you know, click yes. There's no real profile or anything like that.
Yeah, there's no real profile. It's fascinating, too, though, you know, where things are gravitating because, you know, I have had women that have been on eHarmony, Match,
yeah,
and Tinder.
Too, sure.
And they'll say, you know what, I thought Tinder was just a total hookup fest is what I heard, but actually getting on there, the best dates I've been on in a long time have come from Tinder.
Well, here's what's good about Tinder. It's instant gratification. Here's what's bad about Tinder. It's instant gratification. That tells the whole story. And the problem with online dating overall, but especially with a site like Tinder, which is really not about getting to know someone before the date. It's about meeting as quickly as possible. But here's
right.
the problem, and again, I don't mean to cut to the end of our interview. When you meet people as quickly as possible, it means you're going to go on a lot more bad dates.
Right,
that's
exactly.
the nature of it. And I find bad dates to be demoralizing, dispiriting, and soul-sucking.
Tell me how you really feel about them.
Well, I don't have to tell you. You've got your audience. They'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No, it's so true. So let's back up and
yeah.
say, okay, you picked your site, and what you're saying, just to recap, is very important, is volume is key. You know, making sure that there's a wide variety on there that for you to choose from. There's
the simple way, just to put a finer point on it, go on a dating site. Getting on a dating site is free. Any site is free to look. So get on a dating site, set up a profile for free, and take a look in your area for, you know, reasonably attractive people who have actively logged into the website in the past 24 hours. If there's enough people to facilitate a active membership, then get an active membership. All right. If there's not, then don't. And again, it's all that matters is are there enough people here? And it's the same as you wouldn't want to go to a bar where you were the only person in the bar.
That's right. That's right. And so let's say you pick your dating site. Now, the bread and butter is we're talking about the profile and the pictures.
Yeah.
So where would you like to start?
We'll start with pictures because there's less to say about them. And this is also double-edged sort of the wrong terminology, but everybody says men only care about the pictures. It's all about the pictures, right? And it's sort of the going stereotype. So let's acknowledge this. No one's going to write to you if they don't find you attractive. Okay, we'll dispense of it. But again, there's not much wisdom in that. You wouldn't write to someone that you don't find attractive either. So no one's going to write to you if they don't find your picture attractive, so posting an attractive picture, therefore, is important. All right? But men are not just about pictures alone because there's lots of pretty people out there. We're looking for more than that. Any guy you're looking for is looking for more than a pretty picture. Okay? So people often neglect their profiles at the expense of their pictures. And to me, this is, you know, if you go back to high school, you've got your standardized test score and your transcript. They both matter. It's not one or the other. So your photos and your essay do matter. OkCupid did a great study, largely verifying the things that I sort of anecdotally observed, you know, from, you know, all the years in the trenches about what photos kind of work. In short order, my theory on photos is that you don't want to put up 26 photos, which makes you look like a narcissist. You don't want to put up one photo of you standing behind a fern or
right.
up on top of a mountain looking like a little dot or at a big family reunion where we could barely pick you
yes.
out.
Yeah, that's the classic, the little dot on top of the mountain. Oh, this is me. Or you in your snowboarding or skiing gear with a helmet and goggles.
Yeah. People want to see you, and right, the same way, you know, it's very easy to say, I'm going to put up this picture of my cat. Well, no one cares about your cat. You care about your cat, and the guy doesn't care about your cat. So the picture should be, the primary picture should be a close-up picture of you. Great picture, looks like the cover of a magazine. There should be four or five pictures of you in real life doing things that you enjoy. When I was dating back, you know, 10 years ago, it was I had a picture of me and my mom in the back of a limousine, me and my sister out at the beach, me in Central Park standing outside the boathouse, me and a buddy dressed up for Halloween in goofy costumes. So every picture showed a measure of personality, right? This is a life that I would want to belong to. It's
there
not
you go.
Look, here's my face in front of a wall. Here's my face in front of another wall. Here's a selfie I took from my camera phone in front of another wall.
Exactly. So, and I think, and really to highlight one of the points you're making here is lifestyle. You know, is this a lifestyle I want to be a part of? So showing the things that represent you, the things that you love to do, and can the guy see himself fitting into that life? And I also, you know, loved you put, you know, it's two things on the extreme. One, show your value. Are you traveling? Like you have one in the back of a limousine with your mom, like you're doing high class adventures, but you're also showing your goofy side, you know, show your inner dork a little bit, like you dressing up as a Halloween
costume.
I'm glad
you said that. I'm really glad you said that because that's what it is. You're trying to appeal to lots of people. You're not trying to say there's one man out for me and I'm going to, you know, because you find outdoor people, they'll put like 17 pictures of the great outdoors. It's too much. Right? We don't want to be the one-note person. You want literally every person on the site to say, wow, I want to get to know her, right? Because there's something in it for everybody. So, you know, half dozen pictures and a full body shot that – shows what you look like because people care about that and it matters. Picture doesn't have to be taken in the past, you know, 24 hours, but sometime in the past year or two so that you still look like your picture. It makes a difference and it'll avoid a lot of discomfort in real life when you show up. And again, you should look like your pictures and the same way you'd like any man to look like his pictures. So that, you know, OkCupid's done studies that say women who flirt with the camera get more responses. But, you know, it's, you know, smiling could work for women, but sort of, you know, looking sexy into the camera works really well for women. Men, I'm a big advocate of smiling because I'm a happy person. Studies show that guys who don't smile and look into the camera do even better. It's that sort of, you know, mysterious blue steel Zoolander look, right?
Give your blue steel look.
So again, people respond to the sex appeal. So we'd be foolish to ignore that. If you're a woman with curves and cleavage, show it, right? If you're a guy who's ripped, wear that picture in the tight T-shirt, right? Or the picture of you playing volleyball on the beach. It ain't going to hurt you.
That's great advice. That's great advice because that does, I mean, human nature, that absolutely appeals. And as long as that's not the only shot, you know, so for the guys who are like, you know, or the guys that are have their shirt off playing volleyball rather than just the guy who's in the mirror taking the selfie flexing, probably not so much.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, some of these standards are changing. Selfies aren't as bad now as they used to be 10 years ago because they're so ubiquitous. So, you know, I don't want to get too caught up in rules, right? Like we don't want to make it sound like if you do this, you're screwed because it's not the case. I think in general, you want to make yourself look appealing. All you have to do is look around at other people and say, what do I like? When I see a woman doing this, when I see a man doing this, what appeals to me? And it's probably not, you know, 26 pictures or one picture or just a face without a body or, I mean, it's kind of obvious what works with pictures. Profile,
what about
not
pictures
so much.
For women with pictures with guys? What's your take on that? So, you know.
I think guys are a lot less threatened by it than women are, personally.
Okay.
I mean, I had a picture of me and my sister, and some woman, you know, ripped me a new one.
Well, it's confusing, right? So, is this your girlfriend?
If you want to play it safe, then don't put up a picture that can be construed as a romantic picture. That only leaves you every other picture in the world to choose from.
Or you with a picture ripped out where the guy's like ripped off.
It's not necessary. Everybody has a phone and a digital camera. Carry it around in your purse, and the next time you're out, have your friend take a picture of you. It's really not – this isn't like a production.
Yeah. So let's talk about profile, because profile can be super intimidating, especially for people who don't consider themselves writers.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, you know, how am I going to take who I am as a person, my entire life, my experience, my complexities, how dynamic I am, and I'm not a writer, and how do I convey that into a few paragraphs in a profile?
Yeah, this isn't a thing, and again, not enough time to go into the full thing. Before I describe exactly what you should do, I want to give your readers resources. One of them is the Finding the One Online program. I think volume 2 is an hour on how to write a profile. And if you really don't want to write your profile, because it is a lot of work to do a good job with it, it's hours and hours and hours, my website, eSerner, will write your profile for you for a very affordable fee. These are professional writers who've been with me for a decade, and people love it. It makes people go wild. So
I highly recommend. I highly recommend checking those out too, because it's so nice to have a resource you can trust that's high quality, that you can say, okay, these people are going to do a great job for me, just to take the pressure off.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, not so much to even personally plug my business, as much to let people know these kind of things exist. In a way that, this is a nice interview, but there's only so much we're going to get out of the interview. So here's the biggest thing with online dating profiles, especially, the big mainstream sites where the question is about me. All right. It's big, broad. It's about me. when left to our own devices, most people, especially people who are not writers, will end up saying some version of the same thing. And it doesn't mean that they're lying. It's we will rely on what comes to mind first. It's lists of adjectives, lists of activities, and well-worn online dating cliches. So I joke that you could take a profile like, I'm nice, smart, kind, warm, funny, honest, successful, ambitious, and family-oriented. I like hiking, biking, movies, music, and travel. I'm looking for my best friend and lover and partner in crime. And that would describe pretty much everybody. Every man, every woman, every age.
You've done this just a couple of times.
Couple
I love
times.
The partner in crime.
And so none of these things are inherently bad, but because everybody uses them, they're not effective. They don't have any value. It would be like marketing yourself as Acme ABC 123.
Right, exactly. You just blend in with everybody else.
And that's the hard part. If I asked you, I'm not trying to make you look bad, but if I asked you to describe yourself, you'd probably use adjectives, because adjectives are descriptors. That's what they're there for.
Right.
But if you say nice, smart, kind, warm, funny, and my mom says nice, smart, kind, warm, funny, so you and my mom are the same person? So that's the failing of the way people approach it. The other thing that people do, in addition to their lists of adjectives and activities and cliches, is that they think, and even your question almost implied, that this was some sort of resume, right, that was supposed to capture everything about them. And it's not. This is marketing, Matt Boggs. You understand marketing? Who are you marketing towards?
You're marketing towards the person you want to connect with.
Uh-huh. And so what's going to make that person want to connect with you? This is where almost everybody I've ever seen gets it wrong. We talk about how great we are. And I went to Mount Kilimanjaro, and I speak 3 languages, and I just renovated my house, and he doesn't care. What does he care about? What did he get out of it?
Exactly.
Right. So demonstrating what your partner gets out of dating you is the whole part of, the forward-facing marketing. You want to make yourself appealing to the opposite sex. So a lot of people.
So just to highlight that, just to pause and highlight that, to contemplate. It'd be well advised to really consider that, contemplate that. Everyone's tuned into the same radio station. I don't care who you are, man, woman, old, young, professional. It doesn't matter. It's WIIFM. What's in it for me? So as you're reading, and that's how we read profiles. If I'm going to share my life with this person, what am I going to get out of it? I mean, that's the natural mindset that everyone approaches this with. So bringing that mindset to your profile and saying, okay, if I were a man, high value man, amazing man, reading this, would this be a life that I would want to engage in, participate in?
And so I've got two big things that I want to say, and we can move on. We've got a lot to cover, but this is about as important as anything that we're going to do here. A great way to see into this is, you know, and we probably both do this as dating coaches, you flip it over and you make people see it through a different lens. So let's think of a guy, and the guy writes in his profile, I like hunting and fishing and video games and drinking beer and watching football with my buddies on Sunday. Right. Now, that's 100% true, honest, spell-checked, sincere.
Spell-checked.
How appealing is it to a member of the opposite sex? Right. I think objectively it's not that appealing. Not that there's anything inherently wrong with it, but it's not necessarily that appealing to the opposite sex.
Right.
Now, let's take a guy who says, I would take off work on a Friday to sit by you in the hospital while you wait for the results of your mother's biopsy. Okay. That's a guy who just demonstrated through a story and action what it would be like to date him. He's
right.
The guy who would take off of work to sit by you till you found the results of your mother's biopsy. And again, I could come up with story after story after story of what it means for a guy to be a good boyfriend, partner, et cetera. Now, the hunting, fishing, video games guy could be the exact same guy, you see?
Right. But it's so much more effective. Rather than saying, I'm kind and compassionate and generous.
Tell me a story about how you're compassionate to your and again, if women are listening to this, tell me a story about how you're compassionate. You were compassionate to your ex-boyfriend. Tell me a story about how you were fun with your ex-boyfriend. All the things that you want to highlight come in a story. So you can never use the adjective. You give a very specific example, a good, memorable, funny, interesting story that illustrates your character trait through the lens of the viewer, the man who's reading your profile.
Give us – now, stories can be intimidating. Give us a couple – you know, and what I loved about you calling that a story is, you know, what a succinct example that is.
It has to be.
It's a picture. It's an image. It has to be succinct. So give us a few other examples, if you would, just to get the mind percolating.
Let's play a game. Give me an adjective. I'll give you a story.
Fun.
Oh, fun is the adjective. I thought you said
fun is,
like
yeah,
fun game.
Fun. This is a fun game too. Fun is the adjective because a lot of women say I'm fun. So what would you say? How do they demonstrate fun?
I'd drag you on stage to do a duet of Summer Nights from Greece with me on our cheesy Disney cruise.
That's great. Okay. What about a woman who wants to show that, because here's a great one. Women say, you know, I can lounge around in my pajamas on Saturday morning, or you can find me dressed up in a gown and we'll go have some wine together. And that's,
yeah,
you know,
a nice online dating cliche.
So instead of saying I'm dynamic and versatile, what's another way of communicating that?
I would think you'd want to tell a really good story that illustrates your dynamism, and you wouldn't jam two things into one story. They'd be sort of separate lines. A story is one line, right? It's just one sentence. It has time, place, action, specificity. And if you're looking for what goes into a story, and again, I know this sounds very heady, but I've put some thought into it, right? Number one, your story should be specific and finite. It has to take place at one time. It's not in general, I wake up and go running. That's not a story. Okay.
Nice.
So
nice,
it has to be specific and finite. This one time X, Y, Z happened. Right. The next thing it has to be is interesting, funny, or memorable. Right. I bought Cheerios from Ralph's on Sunday morning. It's technically specific and finite, but it's not much of a story.
Right.
So a lot of people think substituting detail makes for a good story. You know, it's, you know, I went to see Coldplay in concert last Saturday night. That's a fact, but it's not a story. A story is something that has to happen. So good stories in general, and I hate to make this sound like a rule, bad things happen in good stories.
Well, what's great, too, is that shows vulnerability.
Uh-huh.
You know,
self-awareness, humor.
Yeah. Right?
And so to if you want to illustrate that you are well-traveled, I would sooner talk about I've been to 37 countries and I can't wait to go to Antarctica. Get in line. Right? I would sooner talk about how, you know, your favorite city is Istanbul, despite the fact that you were nearly kidnapped by a rogue cab driver. Right? Because something happened. Right? That's what makes it memorable. That's what's going to make us stick. And by the way, these stories aren't just for the sake of themselves. They make it easier for someone to write to you. You ever have a profile? You ever see a cute guy and say, I don't know what to say to him? That's because he didn't give you any stories.
Exactly. Now, I love that point. Give us one more on a woman who's into personal development or spirituality. How would she communicate that?
I think it's an area where you can tell a story, but you kind of have to tread lightly because there's not as many men who are into it. And here's another thing. You have to ask yourself, is this one of your core attributes, right? Because remember, we're trying to appeal to the opposite sex here. So, and again, I'm a personal development guy. Look at what I do for a living. I do it myself. At the same time, you have to be conscious of who your target audience is. It would be the guy, you know, telling you a story about, you know, how he bagged a 6-point, you know, deer, right? But like, that's really important to me. Hunting's really important to me. Well, it may not be important to the woman you're looking for, right? So just be conscious of when you're putting something into your profile that may not – actually, here's the best example of something that may not – that's a great quality that you may not want in your profile. I had a client once upon a time who was a saint? I don't know. She's like, yeah, I quit my job and moved to Tibet to protest human rights violations. Like, that's who she is.
Okay.
Now, that's a story. It's specific. It's finite. It's interesting. It says a lot about her. But does it make her a better girlfriend?
Yeah, it really depends on the guy and how important.
I don't want my girlfriend in Tibet for the next 6 weeks.
Right.
So she's using it to highlight what's important to her, but it's actually making her less attractive to the majority of the readers because her passion makes her unavailable. It would be the guy who's saying, yeah, and I travel for work 30 weeks a year. Right?
Right. So what is something they can say?
Well, what I always ask people to do is come up with – and if you went to East Cyrano, you know, my website walks you through this process. There's video help. There's all these sort of resources to help you access these stories. But what are the top 5 words you would use to describe yourself? All right. That's always where we start.
Okay.
And once we could come up with the top 5 adjectives, now we could build stories that illustrate those adjectives. Right. So it's finding what's true, because it's all true. You could come up with 10 adjectives to describe you, but what's the core? What's the most important things? Right? And most people end up with things like kind, loyal, fun, intelligent, right? But that's usually most people's core.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just finding a story that illustrates how you are those things to a boyfriend.
Beautiful. That's such a great process, brings it down to, you know, something systematic that we can use. Okay, what are the top 5 qualities? And let me look back at my life and what are the examples, the stories?
Yeah, let's find
really
the stories that support it instead of making the assertion, because anybody could say that they're smart, but they can't show they're smart. And there's different kinds of smart. Remember, it's how someone relates to you. There's different kinds of kind and, you know, and sweet and generous. So I mean, I could tell a story about how when I lived in a, you know, old 1920s house, and I went to the gym in the morning, my wife would turn on the water while I was still at the gym so that it would be warm by the time I got home. Right? You could read 1,000 online dating profiles. You'll never read that.
Right, exactly.
Right? And
it's coming
tiny,
right out of your life.
Tiny gesture. Now you have your kind, sweet, generous story. Like, you don't. It doesn't always have to be the big, obvious story. People want to say, I'm romantic, and they'll say, well, because I like flowers and candlelight dinners and walks on the beach. That's the cliche idea of romantic. Let's find a different angle. Because if you say anything that sounds like someone else has said it, it's thoroughly rendered ineffective if you could read the same thing in someone else's profile.
I love it, man. It's great. Just great, great advice. Let's move to from profile, let's move to, you know, how are you – guys are reaching out to you. One of the big questions is, how do I flirt? How do I respond to the emails that they're sending? And I know that's a huge, topic, and it's often hard to hit without examples.
We're doing the condensed version here. Volume 4, Finding the One Online, it's like a whole hour on this. There's something that I have called the 222 rule that shows women how to move men from the dating site to regular email to the phone to a date. And the reason behind this 222 rule, and it's two emails on the dating site, two emails off the dating site, two phone calls, and then a date. The reason is you want to, unlike Tinder, build up trust, rapport, anticipation, excitement. You want dating to feel like dating. And that's what gets lost when a guy says, hey, you're hot, here's my number, text me, and you text him, and then you set up a date by text. You're going on a blind date with a stranger. You might as well write your phone number on a bathroom wall and say, call me.
Right.
Because that's what you're going on a blind date with a stranger. That's it. And so he's got no personal investment in you. You don't know each other. You don't like each other. You're meeting in person to see if there's chemistry. And again, I understand the philosophy, but that's going to lead to a lot of bad dates because you've done no screening. Right? And everybody's gone on a date, sat across the dinner table from someone and said, oh, Christ, how did I end up here?
Right, exactly.
And you could have figured that out if you wrote him two emails online and then figured out that he was a pervert, right? Or that he was bitter and negative and wasn't over his ex, or he never asked you questions about yourself. You could have figured that out in 10 minutes on the phone. But
right.
You got dressed up, drove across town, and spent 2 hours with him because you were in a rush to meet. So I think it's really important for people to treat online dating like real-life dating. So I always use this parallel. In real life, Matt, you've got some game. You want to meet someone, again, you're married, but you want to meet someone at a party, go up to her, you say something clever, I don't know what you say, it's not like you have a line, it's just you start talking, you make her laugh, you talk for 20, 30 minutes, and then you say, hey, I'm having fun, you want to step outside, it's a little bit more quiet, and she comes with you outside, and you continue the conversation, and it's more intimate, and half hour later, you're like, oh my God, I got to go. It's so much fun talking to you. Can I get your number? Would you like to go out sometime? And she says, oh, my God, absolutely. That sounds great. Right? This is the way people talk and connect in real life. They build up a connection, and after they build up a connection, they move to the phone number and plan a date. That's all I'm asking you to do online, is not give in to the instant gratification of, I have to meet you now because I don't want you to lie to me and I don't want you to disappear. We can't let fear drive us. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I love that. And so
just
the recommendation.
Slowing down a beat, you're going to have better, high-quality first dates with men who are invested in you instead of just kind of rolling the dice and keeping your fingers crossed that you like him.
Mm-hmm. And so what is your recommendation regarding the 222 rule? Explain that.
It is unfortunately longer than anything I could get into here.
Okay.
And again, I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to be withholding. It's just, I'll spend like a whole hour doing it with clients on the phone because there's nuance to the execution. But the idea is if you're a good conversationalist, right, you're going to have leverage to have unique conversation on the dating site. Now, what is a good conversationalist? What is unique conversation? Well, half the battle is knowing what it's not. The same way we were talking about online dating profiles, nice, smart, kind, warm, funny, not a great profile. Not a lie, not bad, just everybody says it. So what does everybody say when they start communicating? So what do you do for a living? What do you do for – are you close with your family? Right?
Like, right.
So why would anybody want to continue that conversation?
Boring.
It's not remotely compelling. It's what people do. I understand it's people's default setting. But here's the thing about good conversation. And again, I've put a lot of thought into something that sounds like it should be really obvious. A person who's a good conversationalist has opinions, has observations. And so when I am instructing my clients to either respond to men or initiate contact with men, I'm asking them to access their opinions or observations, and opinions or observations that are somewhat contrary, right? Because if you act too agreeable, and again, this is hard to take, if you act too agreeable, boring. There's flirtation comes from friction. It doesn't come from being agreeable. And what's agreeable? Dear Matt, I read your profile. You seem like a really great guy. You've got a super cute smile. I love the fact that you're close with your family and that you have a dog and that your work means a lot to you. I'm looking for a guy like that. So please check out my profile. And if you like what I have to say, I hope to hear from you soon. Signed, Sandy. Are you turned on? Are you compelled by that email? Right,
I'd say not so much.
It's not bad. It's weak.
Right. It's just average. Yeah.
It's less than average because it invokes what I call the pedestal principle. The pedestal principle is this. It's a very catchy thing. Once you put a man up on a pedestal, he's immediately looking down at you.
Right. Right. Yeah. Deflates the attraction.
So if you 100%. Tell him how great he is and you try to win him over, you like skiing, I like skiing. We should totally go out. Where is your confidence? Where is that feminine energy? Where is the part where he has to feel that he has to win you over?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're flirting, and again, this is online or offline, you always want to assume that the answer is yes. Always. It's a given. Yes, he likes you. Yes, he wants to go out with you. Yes, you can do whatever you want because you're the boss. So when you come, so it's not what do I say in a given email. It's not here's the template that you write to every guy that makes him melt. It's about having the confidence and the attitude to know that you're the queen, they're the subjects, and you could play with them all you want. They're still going to listen to you. They're still going to follow your lead. And it's an attitude, and everybody who's a good flirt knows what that attitude is. And it starts with, I know you want me.
Yes. Absolutely. I can't second that enough.
You know your value, you know your attractiveness.
And you don't have to wait until he signals that he wants you to embody that mindset.
Yes.
It's coming from I know you want me on the front end. And what's fascinating, what I love about human dynamics is just that attitude. I don't care what your body style is, I don't care what you look like, I don't care any of that. You take two women who look exactly the same way. One woman embodies the, I know you want me, I know I'm sexy. Not in a cocky, arrogant, like stuck-up way, but in a just grounded, authentic way. She knows who she is and that she's sexy. So, compared to a woman who's completely insecure, men will avoid and run from the insecure one and be drawn to the one who says, I know I'm sexy.
So you nailed it. So here's an example of that, right? Like here, you just... Since I know you like very tangible examples, guy writes to girl, hey, read your profile, not really good at this email thing. Let's see if there's chemistry. Here's my phone number, text me. Right, typical guy thing, very desperate, very afraid to invest time, energy on something that's probably not going to pan out. Rush, 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 let's meet. So it doesn't feel good as a woman to receive these kind of emails, but you're never going to stop these kind of emails. At the same time, it doesn't mean a guy who writes that email, that instant gratification email, is a bad guy. It means he doesn't know how to do online dating. It means he's not very good at this, but it doesn't mean he's bad.
Good distinction. He's
a decent guy who wrote you a sort of tone-deaf email, right? You do what one of my clients taught me is it's the compliment sandwich. I would bet, Matt, you're a genius at the compliment sandwich. You know the compliment sandwich?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you say something nice, you offer your constructive criticism, you end up on something nice. So when a girl gets the email, hey, guys, here's my number, call me, right? He's asking her to take the lead, be masculine, reach out to him, where she has to then wait to see if he calls her back. The whole dynamic is wrong. So she needs to turn it around and get him to chase her. So here's the compliment sandwich and the interesting conversation that leads to a good online exchange. Hey, Eric, thanks for your sweet email. You're absolutely adorable. You don't mean this. You're just saying it. All right. Why? Because it works. Because it butters him up and it makes him feel good. Right?
Yes.
Dear Eric, thanks for your sweet email. You're absolutely adorable. But if I called back every guy who gave me his phone number in the first email, you wouldn't get a call back until November of 2017. Ha ha, smiley face. Right? Little sassy attitude. You get that?
Oh yes, you're communicating in slightly direct terms that you're super high demand, super high value.
You're not being a bitch. you're being playful. Because remember, what did you lead with? You're absolutely adorable. You're really sweet, right? You led with something warm.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're basically saying, hey, I can't call every guy. I got a lot of guys giving me their phone number. I can't just go out with you because you gave me your phone number. But you're doing it in a playful way that indicates I have value and I don't need to call you, right? So transition. Tell you what, I'd love to get to know you better. Answer these three very, very challenging questions, and maybe I'll give you my regular email address. Talk to you soon, sweetie. Smiley face, right? Warm, flirtatious, and then you ask three stupid questions that have nothing to do with real life. Why do we ask three stupid questions? Because everybody else is saying, so what do you do for fun? Don't do that. What would you do if you won $1 million and you couldn't spend it on yourself? What if you could spend one night with any Hollywood celebrity, who would it be and why? What's the most drunken memory you have from college, if you could still remember it?
You can still remember it.
So they're dumb questions intentionally. You're not trying to screen him as your husband. You're trying to distract him from the fact that you're not calling him like he asked you to. So
right.
Now he has been issued a challenge. If he wants to get any further with this attractive, sassy girl, he's got to step up and say something funny.
And inherently, you know, on a subconscious level, that builds attraction to men.
Yes.
Because we are attracted to and value things that we have worked to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially saying, hey, look, you can earn connection with me. You can go on a date with me, but you've got to earn it.
You're
I'm not going to go out with any
bozo. Reinforcement, and you're making
yes.
it fun for him to do so. And that's
yes.
the key to this 222 is you can get a guy to slow down, right? He doesn't
well, yeah,
value you if you pick up the phone and text him after one email. He can't value you. You made it so easy to get a date.
Right.
So you don't
and
have to be
you're
difficult.
Waiting out.
You're not playing games. You're making it fun for him to earn a date with you, earn your phone number. And if you can
yeah.
make this process fun, you'll have guys eating out of the palm of your hands.
And you're weeding out guys. You know, a lot of guys aren't going to respond to that because they'll come home at night. They're going to shoot out 50 emails,
yep.
50 women, they're all the same, they're casting the net wide, they're copying
mm-hmm.
and pasting, a bunch of women are going to get back to them, you know, and so you're weeding out the guys who are just, who are net fishing, so to speak.
Exactly,
and
if he's not willing to answer your three ridiculous questions, does he deserve to get a date with you?
Exactly. And what I love about the way that you phrase that too is that one, you know, a huge need for men is validation. We want to know, we don't want to go out with a woman who is a bitch, who's cold, who has no interest in us. But for you to open up and say, you know, you're adorable and I'm really hoping you answer these questions and talk to you soon, sweetie, and the flirtation in there is brilliant because now you're letting us know that, yeah, we've got some potential. But we have to step our game up above all the other guys in order to earn time with you.
Yeah, and
it's
I've had women
man.
Who say, Evan, your 222 doesn't work. The guy disappeared. I said, no, that meant it worked.
That meant it worked. Exactly. Great point. Yeah, this is great, man. This is really good. Final question is, let's talk about the fears. Because a lot of people say, oh, my God, there's so many creeps and so many stalkers and so many serial killers and all that. How do I protect myself? How do I keep myself safe online? And I don't want to meet some guy who's then going to be a stalker. So what do you say to that? How do you combat the fear of actually going from online dating? Because it's intense, and I'm sure your coaching clients have experienced that. My clients have expressed that, saying, oh, like, you know, we even talk about, you know, going up to guys in regular life, and we have – you know, whole training on how do you stay in the feminine while taking control of your love life and meeting great men. And then you shift that to offline and the fear factor just skyrockets. Like, if I'm going to meet this guy online and offline and for certain people. So how do you address that? What would you say to that person
sure.
who's afraid?
I'm not a fear expert, but I think if you talk to, you know, the Rhonda Brittons, the fear experts of the world, they'd tell you that fear is largely irrational, right? I mean, isn't that sort of the nature of fear? Is that it's this construct in your head that's more based on something in your head than in reality?
Absolutely.
Right. So it goes for online dating fears. Remember, People who date online are the same people that are in real life. So you talk to a guy for 20 minutes at a party. You don't know him. You don't know if he's a serial killer. I mean, I'm using an exaggerated example. You know you had a 20-minute conversation with him at a party. He hasn't been vetted, and he gets your phone number. You feel like you know him because you talked to him for 20 minutes at a party, but you don't know what he's made of. And the truth is, when men are stalkers, A, usually men who are stalkers are stalkers for women who are much younger. You know, people in their 20s are a lot more unhinged. Their brains aren't fully formed yet. So most of the you know, that kind of activity happens, A, when people are younger. And B, people who are stalkers usually stalk people that they have a real investment in. So what happens is you go on 3 dates, he falls for you, and then you say you don't want to see him anymore, and then he won't let go. Right? That's sort of a typical case. Does it matter if you met that man online or offline? Could you have weeded him out from his profile, from the phone call? Could you have known he was going to be a stalker? Of course not. Impossible. So blaming online dating for the fact that some guys are creepy? Online dating is just, as I said, it's a box filled with people. This gives you access to people, and it gives more people access to you than ever before. So one has to come to expect that in online dating there's going to be a ton of turnover. I tell my clients, talk to 7 to 10 men in your inbox at a given time, but only expect 1 or 2 of those men to get to the first date when you weed them out through your 2-2-2 rule. Right? So hopefully by emailing, talking on the phone, you weed out bad guys before the date. But you can't avoid going out with men under the fear that he may turn out to be a bad egg, because there's nothing you could do to prevent him from being a bad egg. It has nothing to do with online dating itself as a medium. Does it make any sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, online
essentially,
dating
the risk is
no
the same
than
across
anywhere else. And the people are no better or no worse. The only difference is people are more likely to say weird things to you via email, like, hey, sexy, you know, I could imagine you on my bed. And like, then great, you delete that guy and you block that guy. I mean, it doesn't take very long.
So right.
I understand and respect women who have fears around this, but I can tell you this from the male perspective, when you let your fear dominate, right? And again, I dated online for 10 years. When I would say, hey, what's your phone number? And she'd say, I can't give you my phone number. Right, what do you mean you can't? I don't give my phone number to guys because, you know, they might stalk me. If you're talking to me on the phone for an hour, right, or you're emailing me for a week and I ask for your phone number and you treat me like I'm a common criminal, right, that makes me feel really bad, and it makes it seem like you have issues. Right? And that's not your intention. That's the byproduct. Right? So any time that women, out of the guise of protecting themselves, give fake names, get weird about phone numbers and all that kind of stuff, it sucks the fun out of dating, and it doesn't allow a guy to court you properly because you're being so paranoid about the worst-case scenario. And I'm conscious of the worst-case scenario, but in a way you can't really protect yourself from the worst-case scenario.
Well, I would say to that, the worst-case scenario is so improbable. It's so rare, like you're saying.
Yeah, it would be like being afraid of flying because your plane might crash. Yeah, but when are you going to not fly?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great example, is the whole idea that the chances of this, and even beyond the plane crashing, that's a perfect analogy because, number one, we'll take flights even though we understand the risks, and number two, we have way more control in who we allow into our lives than we do about whether or not that plane crashes.
Sure.
So your chances are even better because, and as a woman, you know, your woman's intuition to be able to tune in and weed guys out based on flags that you're seeing, you know, red flags, yellow flags, whatever they may be, your intuition is going to zing, and your intuition is going to tell you, look, I just don't feel right about this guy. Trust your intuition and say next, and it's going to position you to meet a ton of amazing men. You know, it's fascinating because you're saying the new research is that 1 in 4 long-lasting committed relationships happen online. That's a huge percentage.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly add on to that. So it's one of those things that you could avoid it out of your fears, but your fears are probably unfounded, and you're missing sort of a golden opportunity to expand your dating pool beyond, again, if you're me, I'm 41, I live in the suburbs, you know, where would I meet people? I work from home. You know, I don't go to that many parties.
Right.
And so it sounds really great to say I don't need online dating. And when clients come to me and they ask me for dating help and they say I'm not really comfortable with the online dating thing, I'll tell them this. I'll say, you know what? I don't care about online dating either. And they say, really? Yeah, and I thought that was your thing. I said, no, really, I don't care about online dating at all. If you can guarantee me that for the 12 weeks we're working together, you're going to go on at least one or two dates a week, we don't have to date online. And we always end up dating online.
There you go. It's because it's a phenomenal tool. Phenomenal tool. Man, amazing advice. Super strategic, super insightful, super effective. I really appreciate you and your great work in the world. All the wisdom that you're bringing to people. I'm going to post links to the resources that you talked about, the eCyrano and the Finding Online. I'll post links next to this interview as well, so people can have access to those things and check you out and all of your great work. So I know you're working on your next book coming out. We'll post an announcement for that as well. So best of luck to you in finishing that project and with that launch. And I just want to say thanks a lot, man. You rock.
Thank you, buddy. You're the best.
I hope you enjoyed this special interview with Evan Mark Katz and that it added value to your life. Again, for resources and information about Evan, you'll see links posted next to this audio online, or you can check out crackingthemancode.com under the resources section there. And as always, if you're interested in coaching or have a question, you can email me at matt@crackingthemancode.com. Have a great day. We'll talk soon.